Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
This morning I want to talk to you about dealing with disappointments for the next few moments. I want to tell you that I am certain, I know for sure that there is a man, his name is Jesus, that there is a man who loves you and has loved you every day of your life. I want you to know that he will never turn his back on you. He sees what you're going through. He understands your hardships. He understands your hurts. He understands the difficulties you face, and he will not lie to you, and he will not ever let you down. If you trust Jesus, and if you will follow his word, you will be a better person. Listen to me one more time. Listen to me, especially if you have not made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, or if you have somehow come to this a moment and you're wondering, could this be true? Yes, it is true. I am telling you that if you trust and follow Jesus, you will be a better person. You will make a better living by following him. You will build a better life. And you will make a greater difference if you just follow what he has said. You will be more at peace and you will have more joy in your life just from doing what he said. His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God, and the Bible is the truth. And contained in the Bible are the keys to life. Now, if what I am telling you is not the truth, if what I am telling you is wrong, and you follow and trust Jesus, you have lost nothing. If what I am telling you is not the truth, and you decide to follow Jesus and do what he says, you will have lost nothing. You will still be a better person. You will still have more joy and more peace. You will still make a better living, a better life, and make a greater difference from doing what Jesus said, even if he never existed. Even if there was no God. Even if there was no heaven and no hell. Even if not one word of this Bible was true, you would still be a better person for having followed what these pages reveal. But if what I am saying is true, you cannot afford to walk through this life and enter the next life without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If I'm wrong, you've lost nothing. If I'm right, you cannot afford to not follow him. We have just come through some very stressful times in America. Virtually half of the voters who voted in this last election in the United States of America, virtually half of them voted for Kamala Harris to be president of the United States, and the other half voted for Donald Trump. Things got heated, as you probably saw and heard. Name-calling and cutting remarks from both sides. Things got so divisive that we saw people take up arms and try to assassinate Donald Trump over things, no doubt, that were said by one side and the other. Either they didn't like what he said or believed what people said about him. They tried to kill him. That's getting pretty tense. That's getting pretty stressful, no matter which side you were on. There was no way in the world that everyone could get what they wanted. Did you know that? No way in the world. There never is. There's no way that everyone could get what they prayed for. Come on. No matter who won, not everyone was going to get what they wanted, not everyone was going to get what they prayed for, and not everyone was going to get what they believed was best. Politics are designed to divide people. Just the nature of the argument over who would be best and who we believe should be the president divided our nation. And if we live long enough, each one of us is liable to encounter another circumstance in which we feel we have lost. Without respect to who you voted for, this is not about who is president elect. This is about disappointments. How do we handle disappointments? And I'm using the recent presidential election to highlight the fact that virtually half of the voters in the United States of America woke up Wednesday morning last very disappointed. Some of them so disappointed they did not know what they were going to do, did not imagine that the sun would continue to come up or that the world would continue to exist. And the other half was quite happy because they got what they wanted, got what they prayed for, and got what they thought was best. Have you ever been at a place where you didn't get what you wanted? Have you ever felt powerless and felt as though that what was best was just not done? Have you ever prayed for something and prayed for something and prayed for something and really believed that you should get this and yet it didn't happen? Let's turn to the Old Testament, book of Samuel, 2 Samuel. We're going to be going to chapter 12 this morning. And in chapter 12, we're going to find God's instructions for what we should do in moments when we feel disappointed. You know, the Bible is our guide to life. God highlights moments in the lives of other people all throughout the Bible. I mean, from Abraham to Noah, Adam and Eve, all the way through to the prophets and into the New Testament with Matthew and the Apostle Peter and John and Paul. We see God highlighting moments in the lives of Ruth and Naomi, in the lives of Mary and Martha. We see God highlighting moments and using the accounts of their life to show how we should act and behave in times when we get what we want and in times when we don't. The moment that we're going to use for our lesson today out of 2 Samuel chapter 12, the moment that we're going to look at as our lesson comes from the life of David. David is a familiar character. And by the time that we get to this point in David's life, David is already the king of Israel. He's already fought great battles. He's already killed Goliath. He's already conquered Jerusalem. He's had many sons and daughters. The army of Israel is so powerful and so great, that the army no longer felt like they even needed David to go out to war with them anymore. This turned out, by the way, not to be the best idea. While the army was at war, you can read the account, I encourage you to, David stayed at home alone. Now, the Bible paints a picture of a bored man. Okay, he was sitting on the rooftop of his house, overlooking his kingdom. He was a young man, he was in the prime of his life, but yet he was idle. Have you ever heard the old adage that idle hands are the devil's workshop? Yeah. He was sitting around with nothing else better to do. He's over looking over his kingdom, and from his rooftop, David could see the roofs of other houses nearby. And one of the houses belonged to one of his faithful captains named Uriah. And Uriah was gone to war, but Uriah's wife Bathsheba was at home, and she was on her rooftop, and she was taking a bath on her rooftop. You get the picture, right? So did King David, by the way, okay? And if you're not familiar with this story, I recommend that you read the account from the original manuscript, okay? Now, if you just can't, if you're just not a reader and don't want to listen to it, might I recommend the 1951 20th Century Fox version, okay, of David and Bathsheba, all right? It's in Technicolor, okay? It was in full Technicolor. Starring Gregory Peck and Susan Hayward. Okay, it's probably one of my favorite, but it's still not as close as the original manuscript. Okay, so read that, please, if you would. You can get the full account there. But once the story, and I'm going to trust you're familiar with the story. Once the account of David and Bathsheba gets past the adultery, gets past the pregnancy, gets past the conspiracy to defraud her husband, and past the conspiracy to commit murder, and the betrayal and the murder, and then the birth of their child, God shows up on the scene and sends a prophet named Nathan to David's house to pronounce judgment on David and Bathsheba, and told him that their child would die. You can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. Now, this was not what David wanted to hear. It's not what David wanted to happen. It's not what David was praying for. It's not what David felt was best. Rather than me continue to tell the story, let's read it, because it reads so much better than it preaches. 2 Samuel 12, beginning at verse 15. Then Nathan departed to his house. That was Nathan the prophet. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. And David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm." Verse 19. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Now, this is certainly not what David wanted. This is certainly not what David had prayed for, and this was certainly not what David had felt was best and what should happen. What did David do when he didn't get what he wanted? What did David do when he didn't get what he prayed for? What did David do when what he felt that a gracious God should give him, he didn't get? Let's continue. Verse 20. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. How do we deal with disappointments? What do we do whenever we don't get what we want, when we don't get what we prayed for, when we don't get what we think was best and we think could have happened, should have happened, and God could have changed it? What do we do? How do we deal with such disappointments? Number one, David got up. David got up. He didn't get down, he got up. Okay? Disappointments often signal for most people it's time to get farther down, go farther down. It's time to sink farther down into the hole of despair. But David did not go farther down. David rose up. David got up. He didn't stay on the ground. Number two, he washed and anointed himself. He didn't just get off of the ground. He got the ground off of him. Boy, that's good. Come on now. He didn't just get off the ground and live in the drudgery of life. He did what he could to get the ground off of him, to get the dirt off of him, to get the despair off of him. He washed himself and he anointed himself. He washed himself, that is, with the water, and he anointed himself with oil as a representation of the Holy Spirit. He needed a refreshing, and he knew that he had to participate in his own refreshing. He had to participate in his own encouragement. He had to encourage himself in this moment. When dealing with disappointments, when dealing with things that seem like tragedies, when dealing with things that seem traumatic, and we cannot imagine how we're going to live with Donald Trump as President of the United States, get up! Get off the ground and get the ground off you. Get the despair away from you. Wash yourself, anoint yourself. Number three, he made himself presentable. I like that. I like the fact that he changed his clothes. Boy, that'd be a good place to preach, become a Republican. No, I'm teasing. Put on some different clothes. Did you get that one? I just thought of that right here, and I really shouldn't have said it. But I thought it was funny at the time. It's not funny for some people. But he changed his clothes. What did he do? He made himself presentable. He didn't go out into public and just mully grub and fuss and complain and continue to live in that torturous experience that he went through. He took off the sackcloth. He took off the mourning. He discarded the garments of sadness. That's hard to do, but he was the only one that could do it. And everyone around him was afraid he wouldn't do it. Everyone around him was afraid he was going to kill himself, or if worse, perhaps kill anybody that told him. Everybody around him thought he was unpredictable, but he wasn't. His heart belonged to God, and he knew that God had made a decision, and with God's decision comes my support. Hello? And I will do what I must do. It happens to the Democrats, it happens to the Republicans on pretty revolving years. Hello? I liken it to a wrestling match, the WWF. I think maybe one person owns both fighters, and they just have us divided on who's going to win. And they take home the purse, and they all get to be friends afterwards and say nice things about one another. And we're left stuck over here being upset with the other crowd because they supported the guy we didn't like or the girl we didn't like. What's going on with that? Somebody's making money off this. Come on. It's not that we don't care. It's just that we cannot live in despair. Especially those of us who are born again, have committed our lives to Christ. We cannot afford to just live in despair. When we don't get what we want, when we don't get what we pray for, and when we don't get what we believe is best. Now, again, I'm not talking today about who is and who is not president. I'm talking about how to handle disappointments from the Word of God. And I'm using our recent political turmoil to highlight the fact that almost every situation has half the people on one side and half the people on the other. Not everybody's going to get what they want in hardly any situation. Not everybody's going to get what they pray for. Not everybody's going to get what they believe is best. How do you handle things when you don't get what you want, when you don't get what you prayed for, and when you don't get what you think is best? Well, get up. Get off the ground. Get that dirt off of you. Get that dismay and disheartened feeling off of you. Come on, put on some fresh clothes. Put on some new clothes. And then number four, he went to church and worshiped God. Boy, that's what you do. Even when you're disappointed, even when things hurt, even when things don't go the way you think they ought to, you say God has made a decision, and according to Romans 13, there is no decision that is made that is not made by God. And if God makes a decision based upon His will, then I am going to support Him. I'm going to find a way to get my life straight. I'm going to the house of God, and I'm going to worship God. And a fourth thing, I liked what he did. This fourth thing, he went to the house and he worshiped the house of God and he worshiped God. He didn't stay at home all lonely and alone. That's what got him in trouble in the begin with. Hello. And he didn't get mad at God and refuse to go to church. Okay? God is not your problem. God is your answer. Okay? God was here before you got here. He'll be here after you go. It's His problem. Let Him deal with it. Number five, he recovered himself. How did he do that? The Bible says he went to his own house and ate with his family. He went to his own house. He didn't go out to a bar. He went home. Let me tell you what the world will tell you. The world will tell you, listen, whenever you don't get what you want, don't go to church. And don't get around your family. You know, there were people saying if your family didn't vote like you voted, then you don't need to go to Thanksgiving with them. That is a bunch of hogwash that I could call some worse names. That's not God. God gave you a family. One of the ways to deal with disappointment is to make sure you get around friends and family and the people that love you. Go to your own house. You know, he went home. Your family is the one God gave you. You get the picture. Hey, if this is how we are supposed to act when we're disappointed, imagine how good it works when we're not. Imagine how good it'll work when you get what you want, when you get what you prayed for, when you get what you thought was best. If you happen to be on the winning side this time, maybe you didn't feel like you were on the winning side last time. Well, remember how that feels. Be nice and kind to your family. Be the person that is a reconciliator. I have had more good conversations with people who did not support what I supported this go-around. I have had more good conversations with men on the streets and in restaurants. I think every one of us is trying to reach out and bridge that gap. Let's do everything we can, okay? Don't stay down. God is good, but we should never forget He is God, and He's the one that gets to decide. Okay? And like David said, when I knew God decided, continue to read that story, when I knew that God had made His decision, that was all I could do about it. I got up, I washed myself, I anointed myself, I changed my clothes, I made myself presentable. I went to the house of the Lord and I worshiped God. And I went to my own house and I carried on life. Life goes on. It's not going to stop because you didn't get what you wanted. Okay? Life goes on. And hardships and heartaches are not going to stop because you got what you wanted. Okay? We still need to work hard. So I'll leave you with this. How do you deal with disappointments? Get the dirt. Get off the dirt, rather, and get the dirt off you. Okay? How was that? Is that okay? All right. It means nothing unless you do it. It means nothing. So I'm going to send you out with a challenge, okay? You know, put a smile on your face and joy in your heart. If you won, you know, good. If you didn't, sorry. Okay? But wherever you are, reach out to others and understand, because if you got what you wanted this time, chances are you didn't get what you wanted last time. Okay? And you may not get what you want next time. Remember, okay? Don't let these things divide us.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hemmons. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.